So I'm joined in the studio by Mike Buchanan, leader of the Justice for Men and Boys and the Women Who Love Them party. You've been in the headlines really as an anti-feminist party.
Yes.
So what to you is a feminist?
We use the categorisation that was used by Christina Hoff Sommers, and she distinguished between two types of feminists. So she, to this day, calls herself a feminist as an equity feminist. So if you like, a woman who believes in, or not necessarily a woman, but a person who believes in equality of opportunity and so on. But by that definition, we're all feminists today, aren't we? I mean, I honestly don't know anybody who would deny women equality of opportunity. It's kind of like, you know, that battle's been won. The other camp, though, she called gender feminists, but in the UK, we would more normally call them radical feminists. And these are people, usually but not always women, who believe in special advantaging of women. So they're behind things like at Brunel University today, female postgraduate engineering students receive a grant of almost £23,000 purely on the grounds of gender. And to our minds, anybody who would support such a thing is a radical feminist. But radical feminism has been the gender ideology of the establishment for more than 30 years in the UK. It just drives everything. And in our manifesto, we have 20 areas where the human rights of men and boys are assaulted by the state's actions and inactions. And there are virtually none of those areas in which radical feminism hasn't made life worse for men and boys.
That's really interesting, because in all the media that you see about you, it tends to seem that you believe all feminists are evil and should be hated. So, I mean, I myself call myself a feminist.
Sure.
And I believe in the equality of men and women.
Yeah.
Does that make you think any less of me?
No, of course not, because I mean, it sounds like you're an equity feminist, and we have no problem whatsoever with equity feminists, other than, I guess, they provide cover for radical feminists. So if you believe just in women, you know, in equality of opportunity, as I do, and 99% of people, I guess, today would. It is a meaningless term, feminist, in that sense, because, you know, all the battles that feminists used to fight for have been won. I mean, I mean, for 5 years now, I've been asking feminists to tell me one area where the state disadvantages women or girls, and in fact, they normally go a very strange colour when I do that, because they can't think of one. So they have this narrative that women are oppressed, but it's perfectly well understood why women are a minority in Parliament and in, let's say, major corporate boardrooms. And the prime reason for that was outlined by a world-renowned sociologist, Dr. Catherine Hakim, in 2000. And her research basically found that 4 in 7 British men are work-centred and only 1 in 7 British women. And it was something that echoed, I mean, I spent 30 years in the business sector, and it just confirmed what I had seen across those 30 years.
But don't you think that's a particularly damaging way to look at the world in which we live? Women make up more than 50% of the population, and by having views that see men as more likely to go into work and more likely to be successful, that we're limiting half or more than half of the population.
No, we aren't limiting anybody. The first time I voted in a general election was in 1979, which was the first of 3 elections won by Margaret Thatcher. Now, that was 36 years ago. The idea that women are limited by anything other than what's in their heads is just ridiculous.
But many would argue that Thatcher was actually a particularly masculine leader, and she had to play a different type of game. Even though she was a woman, it was almost irrelevant because she was such a macho leader living in such a macho world.
Well, no,
Wouldn't your party continue to exacerbate that issue?
No, she was competing with men on a level playing field, and that's what made her extraordinary. She was 1 in a billion, you know, in being prepared to do that. So the sort of women who are being appointed through all women shortlists, they're basically saying that they can't compete with men. And,
I think a lot of women are actually put in those positions because of the world in which we live, because of the patriarchal society in which we live, which people like you think is okay.
Absolute nonsense. I mean, the patriarchy theory, the feminist version of the patriarchy theory is one of the most insane things that's ever entered a human being's head.
So you don't believe the patriarchy exists? So the gender gap isn't an example of the patriarchy?
Well, the gender pay gap.
Or that 25% of chief executives and senior officials in the UK are women,
okay,
but 75% are all men.
The gender pay gap between 20 and 30 is in women's favour. women on average earn slightly more over that period. And it's only really in the 40s that it appears, and that's mainly because women at that age are not focusing on their careers; they're working part time. So it's a myth.
So you're in denial that the pay gap exists?
No, I'm not in denial. It just doesn't exist. I mean, you know, the gap exists, but the explanation for it is not what women say. And I think about 25 years ago, a guy called Warren Farrell in the States wrote a book, Why Men Earn More. And it's just so well understood why men earn more.
Why?
Because they go into higher paying professions.
Is that right?
Is that right?
Yeah. That their path in life is to put them into jobs that pay more.
Well, they choose to do what's required to get into higher paid work.
And women don't.
In general, women don't.
So I want to come back now to student life. This is okay. Student radio. Our yep. audiences are students. Something that's happening here is the University Feminist Society are running a campaign on getting more men into feminism. I wondered what your view is on this and men who self-identify as feminists.
I think they're traitors to their own class. I did a blog post a couple of days ago. I think I Googled Nottingham University and feminism, and I came up you have a women's society, I think, don't you?
We have a feminist society and a women's network.
A women's network, sorry, yeah. But in 2013, someone took... there was a... I think at the Freshers' Fair, so I guess some of those people will still be here.
One was me.
Oh, OK. I need feminism because... And it was just toe-curlingly embarrassing, some of the stuff that's put down. I need feminism because I have to go in a queue to go to the toilet, whereas men don't. I need feminism because boobs. I need feminism because I shouldn't have to explain why I need feminism. It was utterly pathetic.
I mean, I asked you to expand on that. In what way is that pathetic? I mean, what was meant there by, say, boobs, for example, is that women can be objectified purely based on their breasts. And feminism helps to protect women against the idea that all they are their bodies.
It doesn't protect anyone from anything. The idea that feminism protects anyone from anything is just a fantasy.
But you admitted yourself that you're a feminist and an equity
feminist. But equity feminism for my lifetime, and I'm 57, equity feminism has been of not the slightest consequence. It has been absolutely of zero importance, because the only form of feminism that has been influential politically, economically, and in other ways, has been radical feminism.
Okay, so what do you then think of the male students who self-identify as feminists who would disagree with you fundamentally and feel so strongly that women are not supported in the society in which we live that they themselves want to take it on?
I think they don't understand feminism.
That doesn't understand feminism.
I think I understand it pretty well. I've written 3 books about it.
Feminism in 2015, is that what you understand? Or do you understand feminism in books of radical writers that were writing in different contexts?
No, I'm talking about... I go back to the point that the only form of feminism which is of the slightest damned consequence is radical feminism. And misogyny is actually a very rare phenomenon, and misandry is a very common one.
I'm not sure how many of them would agree with you on that.
Well, I don't know either, but it'd be good to do a straw poll after
Well,
this.
Well, we have had some questions in from students, actually, to you. So one from Sarah, who's a first-year economics student, asks, do you think a campaign filled with hatred of one group of society is a positive way to get into politics?
We haven't any hatred towards women.
Just radical feminists.
Radical feminists. We hate, yes, perfectly open about that.
Okay, and we've got another question from Katie, who's a third-year business student. She's interested in what your party is going to do for students if you get into power.
What are we going to do for students? Something that we won't do for students is what's happening at Brunel University, which is to pay, which is to give £23,000 to people of just the one gender. Other than that, we really don't have much to say about students. So something like 60% of university students today are women. It was the ratio was the opposite when I was a student about 36 years ago. You know, in education more widely, we're calling for single-sex schools, and in the case of boys, with all male teaching staff, to be options for communities that want them.
Okay, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you for joining us today,
Mike. Thank you, Emma. It's been a pleasure.